by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious.
Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
I drink your milkshake! I drink it up!
Thank you, John Larson. I receive your kind words on behalf of all of our courageous members of the House of Representatives who want the best for the American people. And what we can do that is best for them in the next 24 hours is to pass affordable, accessible health care for all Americans. The best for all Americans is to have 32 million more people to have health insurance in our country.
Poor.
The best for...
Piece of stinking filth.
Shh, setting a shop. This is AJ of the InfoWars. Listen to the Shaliak. This is Alex Jones of InfoWars. Listen to Shaliak on the Cold Reality News and Report.
This is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
Well, hello there!
Thank you.
Hi, welcome to Cult Reality Radio here today. Starting out with some, you know, some blues and some other things there. Just warming up here, just so you know. That's just me somewhat warmed up here, okay? Okay, somewhat warmed up. If I get warm up, forget about it. Every other guitar player in the world pales in comparison to me. And that's, you know, that's a political spin. It was just a farce because I'm not as good as all other guitar players or better than any other guitar player in the world. But that's what, you know, the politicians have you believing that they've done so much. They've done so much for everyone. They've, you know, done this, and I got off a plane in a war zone, and you know, my life was in danger, and, you know, this is what I do as a public servant, and foreign policy, this is what I do, say. This is what I do. They're all full of shit. So, welcome to the program today. Isn't the usual beginning of the program, but, you know, this isn't the usual world that we think that we live in. So let me see here. I've got some things I want to bring my guest in today, Greg. We're going to talk about a number of different things going on out there in Nightmarica. Seeing if I can get the sound level seem a little low. Maybe we can establish that. And let me upgrade my flash player here. So I keep, you know, don't keep on getting these messages that my flash player is out of date and I need to get it in to version so that, you know, I totally believe that Adobe Flash and all these other programs, JavaScript, all these other ones are there specifically to hack into your shit. So let's see what we got here. Let me see if we pull Greg in and get started. We get started here today. See if I can add to call. You know, see if Skype hasn't, you know, made a change or two to their platform. So that. Hey, morning there. Hey, take time. Yeah. So good morning. Radio.
Hello.
Hey. So, let me see if I can turn this down.
Yeah, it seems like the levels are up.
Yeah. I usually kind of come in louder than everybody else, so I've been kind of backing my little bit of it down. Can you control your mic level there a little bit? It might be a little bit hot. So yeah, we're just going to talk about the nightmare that's been going on, you know, since this bullshit election started and the campaign and everything, all the different distractions that are being used against everyone to deceive them and keep them from understanding what's truly happening, what's been happening for a long time. The collapse of the global economic system that has been going on, the slow, methodical demolition of the economic system that is going to allow the relatively small percentage of dominant garbage and filth to, you know, transform our world through a problem, reaction, solution type thing. And all the things that they're going to tell us when this happens, when this takes place, are all going to be lies. They're all going to be the distortions of the truth, manipulations of the truth to let you think that, oh, China had something to do with it, or this had something to do with it, or this particular event, or these four events or five events that happened, you know, stopped us from getting back to where we were, even though, you know, we're being told, especially by Lester Holt, another prostitute, that, you know, the beginning of the first debate, that the economy is somewhat thriving again, you know, how they lie to people. And Greg's going to shine a little bit of light, actually a lot of light on that, because he understands the economic system much more than I do. And I like money. I have some change in a plastic jug in a cabinet. I like money. That's how we, you know, that's how things in this world, you know, we're told, oh, you got to work, so you got to make money. Most people have no idea what money is. They just know that they have to have it. They have to get it. They have to put it in their pockets. They have to put it in more importantly, they have to put it into a bank. And then from that point, you know, you try to attain the American dream that may or may not exist. But if you live here in America, you haven't picked up on the deception and the lie that it is. It pains me to say that, Greg. It really does pain me to say that. And it pains other people to hear me say it, because they've been indoctrinated into this false belief that America is this country that can do no wrong, that George Washington was the president, the first president. We have our President's Day, and we sit there and we praise the presidents, and Abraham Lincoln, which was a lie. He was never. That if I could save the Union without freeing one slave, I would do it. But they conveniently leave all that stuff out about Honest Abe. And, of course, his name came up in the second debacle bait, you should call it, right? Not a debate, a debacle bait. And it's just absolute ridiculousness that we sit there and we praise these presidents like they're something, you know, something other than God. And then we get children, these maggots, what I in the Judeo-Christian mafia put out, you know, little kids. I had a tumor on my spine when I was just a baby, and when I saw Donald Trump up there making fun of some handicapped guy, I was like, that's terrible. I want a president, and here's the big part. I want a president that inspires me, not one that makes fun of me. So we've really reached levels. We've reached levels, and every day new commercials come out. I mean, even on the Trump side, like somehow he came up with some money. Imagine that guy with all his money. Somehow he came up with money to be able to make the commercials to combat what Hillary's doing to him. And we look at the condition of America, which obviously they're lying to us about the economic conditions. It's so much worse than ever. And all the money that these vile, vicious, blood-sucking maggots are spending on these commercials, they could be taking care of people. They could be helping people that are living in poverty. And no, it's more important to slander someone and create divide and conquer than it is to feed a child or clothe a child or, you know, give them a decent education, which is non-existent. This corporation known as the United States. There's just so many things that people just don't even realize. And even if you tell them, they don't fucking care because the game's on. Okay.
And well, that's true. It's not what anybody thinks it is. It's certainly not altruistic. And if you've ever heard the phrase, you know, taking the velvet glove off the iron fist, well, that's exactly what's coming. because the rude awakening is just around the corner. I think that scales have been moved up. And that's one of the reasons why they put up Hillary Clinton to run for president this time around. Because I think she represents the whore that rides into Babylon on the back of the beast to rain death down upon humanity and bring about what their real plan is to create their greater Israel and rebuild the temple.
So you brought this the correlation between the whore that we see. Mm-hmm. And let's make no mistakes about it. Donald Trump is a whore as well.
Well, Donald Trump is a whore, but I'll get into a little bit of that. There's some interesting development this week. I think there's been a lot of changes this week. I'd love to talk a little bit about that.
So you make this correlation between the whore riding into Babylon, and talk about that a little bit. And Greg's not like a Bible thumping guy, but he's listened to a lot of really, really intelligent researchers, the likes of, you know, Clint Richardson, you know, just an honest, kind-hearted individual who just wanted to find out what's going on in this world, like a lot of other people that got involved in this or maybe heard Melonhead Alex Jones at one point, and say, hey, these things are really happening. So he started doing his own research and getting people that were Bible, knowledgeable. And we find out that there are a lot of really good things in those scriptures that have a lot to do with what's going on today. So, talk about the story about, what you just alluded to.
Well, a lot of people don't know what the original name for the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. was. What was it originally called before it was given the name Washington District of Columbia? Its name was Rome, Maryland.
So they changed it from and when did that happen?
Not exactly sure. I don't remember the exact year, but it was shortly after. It was in the late 70s. It was like after the ratification of the Constitution, or it had been selected because they were looking for a place where they can set up the city state, all right, of the new nation, all right, as its capital, because their purpose was from the very beginning to have us all not be free, but to be subjects of the city state. So that they could fulfill their prophecy when the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, they destroyed Judaism. Okay, once the temple was destroyed, the religion was destroyed. What came about afterwards was the creation of the Babylonian Talmud. Okay,
Judaism back then. Was much different than what Judaism is today.
Yeah. Correct. What it is today, they follow the Talmud, and Talmud is not the word of God, it's the word of man. The Torah represents the word of God. And today what people who call themselves Jews do not follow the Torah. They're actually it's a combination of both, or, it depends upon the sect that they're in, Most don't even really understand it. But there's a high-level group of people. There are people who think they are the lost tribes of Israel, whose goal it is to rebuild the temple and to restore Israel, the greater Israel, which is from the Nile to the Euphrates. And everything that has been happening for the last, 2,000 years really has been leading to that objective. And I think that in order for them to bring about that, where people will demand the temple. Remember, the temple is a bad thing. It's a temple of sacrifice. It brings about a lot of, you know, pretty crazy rules. What has saved man to this point was
the destruction. Worship it, right?
Right. And this has probably been why people go, oh, the Illuminati, ooh, the globalists. These are people that are in league who believe that they are descendants of the tribes of Israel, of the 12 lost tribes of Israel, who are coming together, whose purpose is to rebuild the temple, to reestablish the Jewish faith as, actually to reestablish the temple, which would then reestablish sacrifice and all of the, you know, they could actually initiate their Jewish law and turn us all into their slaves.
Nice.
Yeah, nice little thing. So, however, you know, when we look at something.
How come I never heard them talk about this on the television?
So, you mean everything with the economy that we talk about, what they've done with racking up massive amounts of debt, if you think about it, this was all done on purpose. They've always known that, you know, by overexpending, by expanding the social welfare base, by racking up unpayable debts, that it would collapse the system. Right. And that there are ways that they can honestly control through the business cycle. They can honestly control, and the market itself will monitor and control itself just through the business cycle. But these are people who like to think that they are gods, right?
And just to be just to understand, this isn't your everyday, Jewish guy or Jewish woman walking down the street. They've been indoctrinated into this, much like the so-called Catholics or the Christians or whatever. They've been indoctrinated into these Rome, which is a corporation, which is part of the Crown Corporation. And so throughout the years, they've indoctrinated us into, they've created Bibles that have distorted truth and, goodness, which there's a lot of people out there that just have no, we've been turned away from that book. They use it very powerfully against us, but people just can't really grasp that we have that there are good things in the Bible, but we've been turned away from that. And isn't that, it's just like, I mean, like I think Clint said it every time, we have free will. We have to understand that there's a reason why there's so many, crises that go on with the Vatican, because the Vatican in and of itself, there's nothing holy about it. It is a control mechanism for the world. And
it's a control mechanism that I believe has been taken over when it was something that subdued and controlled really the two tools of what you might call the banker class, okay? I don't want to make this about Jews because it's not exactly what we refer to about Jews. You got a social security number, you got a driver's license, guess what? You're a useful idiot.
Well,
you're a commoner. Yeah, you're a commoner who happens to call yourself a Jew, but you are of no import. You are of no power. You know, you don't pay your taxes. They throw you in jail also.
The most important thing is that, and I wanted to preface it before this because, when you start talking about Jewish people or you start talking about something, people automatically think that you hate them because we've been indoctrinated into all this bullshit throughout the years. But these Jewish people that you see every day running this, running that, they've been indoctrinated in the same way as the Christians and the Catholics and all these other, people that have, they either have a clue, they either flock to it, like you saw everybody, fawning over Francis, or you get those people that are just like, go fuck yourself, And, they're the same thing with Jews. There's Jews out there that just like, whatever, I'm a Jew. And I, you know, I don't go to the temple. I don't do this. I don't do that. They separate themselves from it because, you know, there's a lot of other things going on in life than what the fuck they're talking about in a Catholic church or a Jewish temple or whatever. There's a lot of more interesting things going on. But at the same time, push comes to shove, you know, their backs against the wall. They will back all of this evil, you know, from the temples, from the Catholic Church. And so that's why I prefaced it before. There's a lot of people out there have no idea that they've been manipulated. They've been spiritually manipulated, economically manipulated.
And we've all been manipulated.
Everything.
Every single one of
every
us.
Way.
In every way. We've been manipulated to, you know, to accept things that are against our own interest. We've been manipulated to accept usury and sodomy.
Yep.
Okay, two very tools, the most destructive tools that are used against us, right? And now we are at the threshold of, you know, World War III. And yep. So they can bring about their, you know, so actually they can bring about their greater Israel and the construction of the rebuilding of the temple, so to speak. And if that's ever allowed to happen, then, yeah, that's when it gets really bad for mankind. That's when the real, like I say, the velvet glove comes off the iron fist. And I think that there are forces, because remember, there's two types of people, you know, in the power structure. We all know that the Clintons and the Trumps are related to each other, right? They're 11 cousins, okay?
Yeah, they are cousins, that's right.
11 cousins and all the presidents and everybody, they're all kind of like related, but, and that is absolutely true, but there's also divisions in families, particularly when there are outsiders, two families of different, you know, with two families of different groups are brought together to form one corporation. Okay. And that is primarily falls into two camps when you're talking about the bloodlines. One is the bloodline of monarchy, and the other is the bloodline of piracy. Now, obviously, we know Hillary is of the line of piracy.
Yeah.
Right? But if you look at Trump, Trump could be looking at, the bloodline of monarchy has had to sit back and watch over the last, 50 years since the end of World War II, really? The actual decimation of the respect that monarchies were given. They probably, because they bought into the idea that we need to prevent this whole, you know, going to war thing, and we can do it by going globally. First, we do it by going to war, and then we can control the commoners. You know, maybe it sounded like a romantic idea to them because they figured, well, if we can control the commoners, they can never rise against us, and we can have perpetual power. Right, but mm-hmm. It turns out that what happens is when you make a bargain with the devil, well, you know what happens, right? So maybe this is an indication, because what I've been seeing in the Trump campaign this week it has totally become radical. You know,
yeah, it's getting ugly.
No, it's not getting ugly. It's getting clear. The net lines have between the two candidates have never been more defined than they are right now. And they had to kind of let the scandals come out, right? So that he could separate himself from the Republican Party establishment. To give you an example, the Republican Party, the Republican National Committee, runs their own advertisements, you know, runs their own television commercials for their candidates.
I've been seeing that now.
Okay.
Before, it used to be one, you know, this is Douchebag McGee, and I, you know, I approve this message. This is Republican McGillicuddy, and I approve this message. Now, it's the entire party.
No, they do that every year. They run it. Like, I'll give you an example. But in 2012, when, Romney was running against Obama. At this particular stage, 3 weeks out of the general election, the Republican National Committee had spent over $43 million on advertisements for Romney. Guess how much they've spent on Trump to this point.
Oh, they've probably next to nothing, huh?
Zero.
Yeah, zero.
They have not spent a single dime promoting their candidate. All right? So Trump's doing it all himself. And it's not just the Clintons that are running scared, bringing down the Clinton crime machine, which would be the greatest thing for us. It's the Bush crime machine. You know, it's the entire establishment now that's set up and running against him. And I think he's got it. I actually think it's like, wow, because, you know, if the election is close, you know, they can have it thrown to Hillary. But I'm not sure. I'm not really buying in that Hillary's got all this support. I think this is, they're just drumming it up, and they're waiting for focus groups. And I think their polls, their back-channel polls that they don't publish in the papers, are showing that Hillary is way behind. She can't draw anybody at any rallies. Right? Yeah, She's not even doing any more rallies from now until Election Day. None.
Well, that's why she was pulling Elizabeth Banks and a number of these other Hollywood whores to get up there. And, you know, I got right now, there's a lot of people that aren't even paying attention to this dude. And you know that. I mean, that's not, you don't know. There's a lot of people. There's a huge portion of people that aren't even paying attention to it, but already know that they're going to vote for somebody just because of, you know, it's Hillary, and, you know, Hillary's there, people. But just like they voted for Obama because he's, you know, was a black guy, white by blood, you know, related to George Washington.
This is a little different. I don't really sense that. I think that this really has got this. I think it's got everybody polarized. I don't think it's like that. I hear that claim from people, but I don't see it. I personally don't see
it. Just imagine what Trump could have accomplished with all these different groups of people if he didn't say, you know, let's build a wall. He could have done that. And he said, we got to secure the border. You know, there's a be saying we're going to build a wall, and then we're going to put more into securing the borders because they haven't secured the borders, right? There's a difference between that, night and day. Mm-hmm. He could have said so many different things in so many different ways, but whoever was directing him, I mean, I still, honestly, I just can't even believe that he would say those things. I mean, it's one thing thinking them, but then you have to deliver it in a certain way to people because you know that they're just going to react like, we hate you, right?
Okay, but Charlie, those are all just emotion buzzword phrases. When you start talking about locking up the establishment, the bringing down the back-end corruption, okay, that is the Democrat and the Republican Party, exposing it all right? I mean, we're talking about huge enemies here. Huge. And they'll go to war before they allow him to become president. You can almost guarantee that. And it's one of the reasons why we're going to DEFCON 3, you know, with the Russians.
That's right.
If this gets out, they're not going to allow that to happen. But happen it must. And
yeah. So this on, yeah. CIA planned cyber strike on Russia, DEFCON warning upgrade, Moscow ready, unprecedented threats. Safest places on planet to survive. Boom.
Right. Now, you know me, I'm not convinced that we have these nuclear weapons. I think nuclear weapons exist, but I've been told by people that I personally talked to from Los Alamos Labs in a roundabout way, because I've asked them direct questions and they answered me by not answering, which I will take as a yes. I had read that you cannot obtain that nuclear reaction to create a nuclear detonation in a state of inertia, which means that you can build a nuclear bomb, but it has to be built stationary to the place where it's going to be detonated. And that's quite an undertaking, unless the Russians have let us come in. And we've got the Russians come into the U.S., right? But then again, any nuclear explosion that is detonated in the United States means that we detonated it ourselves, because it was built in, you know, for the purpose of detonating at one point in the future, right? But maybe I'm wrong.
You're saying that they could shoot something and then, an enemy of the U.S., which is pretty much everybody now, right?
yeah.
They could shoot at us, and then, you know, as that gets closer to us, they could just detonate something to make it look like that was there was a nuclear warhead on there, but really actually wasn't.
Right. Just like, you know, it's like when you go to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which I've been there, and you look around and you don't see any real evidence that it was ground zero of a nuclear explosion. How could it be? Why would they rebuild the city right on top of the place of, you know, where the bomb was detonated? Right? Wouldn't they go up? They could go 10 miles away and rebuild the city there and just put a big fence around the spot. So that we've been lied to about nuclear weapons.
I truly believe that a system that there's obviously nobody wants to be, you know, hit with that type of technology that could kill, you know, massive amounts of people in horrific ways. I don't believe that they actually built them, that they allowed them to be able to do. I think the fear of that is sold to people so that, you know, they can control countries and
No, I think the purpose of it was it served as the boogeyman during the Cold War. Today, they have developed many other very nasty weapons that have the ability to kill people and break things on a mass scale. They even can use those weapons and then, you know, detonate a radiological bomb, a dirty bomb, which would give the trace elements. And then they could say, see, we detonated a nuclear bomb. Radioactivity levels are through the roof. You know, and it can make it look as though a nuclear weapon exploded, but in reality, it just one of the newer super big bombs. It's like, you know, the rumors they told us all that they had neutron bombs. Okay?
Right.
And yet, you know, no one's ever seen a detonation of a neutron bomb or the results of one. It's all been a, you know, it's all been a psyop from day one just to scare people to say we've got these super weapons and stuff like that. So. And I've been reading, too, that the Russians, you know all this. You know, they're not stupid people. And they have their means.
Same people. Are they controlled by the same interest and power that controls America? I believe that they are. But for some reason,
I believe they are in the sense that they are stepping back to their old, traditions through the Russian Orthodox Church, which puts them more in line with, you know, which what they believe are the ancient Rome, okay, more in line or more in league with the Holy Roman Empire, right? Which, if you really look at it, is not such a bad thing. It is it's a system driven upon ethics and morality. I mean, in the very near future, you're going to see where it's going to be illegal in Russia for you to charge usury. They're on that path. And if they can do the two things and eliminate usury and sodomy in Russia, then it's going to be a paradise on earth. And, of course, it being a, you know, basically being an Anglo-Saxon-based, country, it's that's another reason why they want to destroy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these are ancient battles, it seems like, that are coming alive. History is coming alive right in front of our very eyes. And everything is going to be revealed. It seems like everything's going to be brought right up to to ourselves quickly here.
Hey, I just noticed that Clint just messaged. He's listening, so I'm going to see if he wants to join us.
Yeah, bring him on in. Yeah, he's got the message too. Why you bring him in?
You want to talk with us commoners?
Want to talk with us? Yeah. Want to talk with us commoners theorizing about stuff?
Right. So Axel Dick Rod says that she should skip the final debate. That she should skip the final debate, which is ridiculous. Because, you know, and then there's also,
I think if she does, she question. Loses. If she skips the final debate, she loses. But that, you know that, what? I was reading a thing. They actually had it in the New York Post yesterday. You know why they put it in the Post on Saturday?
Right.
Okay, it's slowest news day of the week. The guy who, it was a letter, an anonymous letter from the. From the person who hacked, who hacked Hillary's account, mm-hmm. and John Podesta's account, which she provided to WikiLeaks for verification. According to what this individual wrote, which they published yesterday, is that the absolute worst and most damning is yet to come, and they know that they can't give the Democrats or Hillary enough time to soar and jib and jab and shift around.
Yeah.
So what's coming around, what's going to be released through the WikiLeaks after November 1st is going to be her death knell. So it's either going to keep a lot of people, I don't know what it is, but that's what's being presumed now. So far, I mean, you have to look at this, the stuff that's being leaked already is
this side, which they published yesterday, is that the absolute timing is yet to come, and they know that they can't give.
Hey, I'm having deja voo doo.
Deja voo doo doo.
Deja voo doo.
Got turned off the radio, Clint.
After November 1st is going to be her death knell.
So yeah, so DEFCON and oh god, it's over. It's gonna happen in the middle of the game today too.
Well, you know what they, you know the old saying, it's part of the Kabbalah. You know, this is all controlled by esoteric. You know, the Kabbalah. They have to reveal what they're going to do. Aren't they doing that now? I mean, by telling us this, they're gonna show us. They're going to let us know the fools that we are. You know, it's all going to be revealed. So maybe this is just a sign. Maybe Trump is saying, "Hey, you know, I identify with the monarchy. The monarchy of honor. All right." Where each kings took care of their subjects, right? Because they knew if they didn't, that the commoners could rise up against them. The people, the commoners accepted the fact that they were commoners. They didn't mind working in the fields. They didn't mind producing, so long as the king was not abusive and didn't, you know. But look what's happened now. Look at the people who are supposed to, quote unquote, look out for the interest of the commoners. They're totally raping us. And
to me, that's what
Trump represents.
Yes. Morning, Mr. Clint. I mean, Clint, sorry. God, I got to drop all this. I got to drop my names and flattering titles. How are you doing today, sir?
That's so funny. Everybody seems to have that same reaction, man. I met up with a couple guys the other day, and I went to shake his hand. He's like, "Oh, wait a minute. You said not to shake hands." I was like, "What?" I did not say that. Listeners? Yeah.
Are they listeners?
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. What's that?
Right there in town?
Yeah, they were just driving through, so I met them for lunch. But it was just funny. I'm like, well, you know, not everything I say is practical. You know, I didn't mean not to introduce yourself. I just meant beware. So beware.
So did you sit down and break bread
Absolutely, man. It's my favorite thing to do. For one thing, it gets me out of the monotony, gets me out of my basement. and actually talking one-on-one to people is so nice, you know. So yeah, man, anybody that ever comes through, I'm like, yeah, give me a call.
That's really awesome, man. So now we're seeing that, as I just said to Greg, that David Crackhead Rod said that she should skip the final debate. And Greg said, if she does skip, which, you know, she totally can't and shouldn't, she would lose the election.
Well, you know, I would go back to the notion that there is no such thing as losing an election.
That's right. That's right.
You might lose the popular vote, which is a poll, which is an opinion poll, but you can never lose an election. The election is not designed to allow the public to interfere with the ruling class, the ruling elite, to rule. So,
yeah, true, Clint, but they need Hillary to win to bring down their reign of death upon us, okay? That she's going to represent. She represents the whore riding into Rome on the back of the beast. And by the way, okay, you know that Washington, D.C., the name of Washington, D.C. prior to it being called D.C. was Rome, Maryland. Owned by a gentleman named Francis Pope.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, I say again, though, just don't forget who we're dealing with. Now, if this was some guy like me that was running for president and I have no affiliation with this family and I have no massive investments to be protected by this family and its government, if I had no bloodline ties to these people, then I could say, yeah, I could see where Hillary would need to win. But I don't think that a Trump win, if you can even call it a win, because it's the family running against the family. It's not really a win. It's just, again, it's just an abstract part of the whole running against another abstract part of the whole. So the whole always wins. The family always wins.
Oh, I agree with you.
But the notion, I think here is the litmus test. The only thing that, and this is why I sent you the message, the only litmus test is this to me, and that is when Trump takes office, the only way you would know whether or not he is this guy you think he is, you know, that Alex Jones is portraying him as, which is, should be the most worrying thing of all, is if he pardons, if he does what every other president does, which is to pardon the outgoing presidents and their torture teams, right? I mean, you've got all kinds of ACLU, the Huffington Post, all these things reporting on how Obama was to pardon Bush and pardon the torturers and the creators of the torture thing. And so I think the only way that you can know whether Trump is legitimate in any way, shape, or form, which I don't believe for a second that he is, but I'll play along, is to watch and see what happens when the outgoing president leaves office. He's always pardoned by the incoming president. So why would, you know, a guy who talks about Obama as he does, you know, Bush talked about, or Obama talked about Bush as he did, Bush talked about the previous one, right? Why do these guys pardon each other? Well, because it's organized crime and nothing else, right? So is Trump part of the organized crime, or would he actually not pardon a president, an outgoing president, and his entire staff, including the chief of state or the secretary of state, the secret keeper of the state, right? Secretary. That's your litmus test. And you're not going to know until it happens, until the election is over and Trump is in office. At that point, then he would have power to not forgive these people of their crimes and actually go after them. But I just don't see that happening. Now, I might be wrong, and that will be my litmus test. If I'm wrong, then that will be it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he's going to become I don't think he's going to become president. They're not going to let it happen. You know, it cannot be, you know, you also cannot, 2017 represents the 100th anniversary of the Russian Revolution. Okay? We are reaching the end of this economic shell game that they've been playing. There's no more there. So they know that they have to collapse this system very soon. It's a matter of who's going to take the blame, right? They want to, so blame it on the Russians, blame it to keep the commoners distracted so they can go in and reset the table and reset the board and select their favorites and, of course, continue the bloodline in the power struggle and get us into the next phase, and it's all part of the plan. And it feeds into the whole Hillary is the whore riding in on the back of the beast into Babylon. You know, which is Washington, D.C.
Well, and I think that's important, too, is the sheer nightmarish revelation that we're getting, the information we're getting about these people's criminal behavior.
Now, Rebecca, let me just say one other thing, too. Do you remember what happened to the supporters of the Bolsheviks after the Russian Revolution?
Do I remember? Well, no, I wasn't alive.
I mean, remember from a history books or anything like that?
I've heard of Stalin's army of rapists, and I've heard a lot of really bad shit, yeah.
All the people that supported the Bolshevik Revolution prior to the Russian Revolution, the ones that supported them and helped them and get control, guess what? They were all rounded up and exterminated. Hmm. And it would, often people would ask, well, why would they do that? These are the people that supported them. Because they were useful idiots. And under Kabbalic law, the Bolsheviks were blatant criminals. Okay? They were bandits, thieves, you know, rapists, murderers. And they were able to transfer the punishment for their crimes onto the people who brought them to power.
And they were Irish, right?
And so you think about it, they are not hiding the fact that Hillary Clinton is perhaps the most corrupt person who's ever run for office. Ever. No secret.
But America needs its first woman president, Greg.
Okay, so now you accept her crimes, knowing full well and full, you know, there's nothing ambiguous. It's not like they discover it later after the fact. You're fully aware that she is the most corrupt person ever. That allows her transgressions, her crimes, the punishment for which can now be transferred to you. And guess what? Just as they did all the supporters of the Bolsheviks, they're going to come and ramp. That's why the FEMA camps have probably been built. Okay, not for the people out there who are the alt-right, like the Alex Joneses of the world. It's for the useful idiots that are simply going to be looked upon as, because you're so dumb, because you're so naive, because you actually think it's important for a woman to become president, we're going to put you in a very special place.
So your circle of hell is basically a world run by women.
It's not going to be a nice special place, but they are useful idiots if you think about it. And it's like, hey, you know, since you've supported it, you are now the guilty party.
I mean, the people are of ignorance in incredible, you know, just absolute incredible ignorance. But that's why they've given you know, Trump on the other side, and Trump with his, you know,
Listen, they go back, if you really think about it, just in a biblical sense, going all the way back to the point where, you know, in the square when Pontius Pilate, you know, said, you know, here's Jesus, here's Barabbas. Okay? And they said, which one do we release? And they shouted Barabbas. Like, Barabbas? He's the most evil, corrupt guy ever. Okay? But they said, you know, so what do you want us to do with Jesus? Well, crucify him. Okay? So, to me, it's like there's so many symbols because these people operate in the world of symbology. They they do it in their films. They do it in their policies. Everything sort of conforms to these things so they can make things fit. So they can say, oh, we followed all of the rules and the precepts that, you know, we're following our ancient beliefs. And we've transferred all of our transgressions onto the Goyim.
So wasn't that one of her emails? Wasn't one of her emails just wasn't it about keeping people dumbed down in the elections?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a directives that they would exacerbate the, you know, the ignorance of the, which is something that's always done in every election.
It's just my theory, guys, and I tell you. It's like I'm seeing it all
Let me offer a little bit of historical evidence for Greg's pandering to World War III. I know you want it. I think we all want it secretly. I think we all want to see this whole thing freaking just turn apart, you know, because it's really just the Matrix falling down. But, you know, you guys ever heard of the Titler cycle?
No. It sounds familiar to me, but remind me, good.
Scottish historian Alexander Titler, T-Y-T-L-E-R, he has the following theory. It says, a democracy, which, of course, your founding fathers certainly agreed with this, a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations always progressed through the following sequence. And I really, truly love the way he wrote this sequence because it truly explains what happens. It's very similar to the five regimes of Plato, where everybody goes back to spirituality and then straight back into, you know, complete dependence, then back into bondage. So here's what he says. These nations always have progressed the same way through the following sequence, and that includes the United States. From some form of bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. Think of the wars and everything. From courage to liberty. Ah, we have our Declaration of Liberty, right? From liberty, then to abundance. Now you keep going, and the generations are being born. They've never experienced war. They've never experienced what these people experienced in bondage. So now we go from liberty to abundance, and abundance to complacency. Oh, there's so much food. I don't need to grow anything myself, right? From complacency to complete apathy. Oh, I don't give a shit about anything out there. That's your ignorance, right? From apathy to dependence. Well, we've reached that stage for sure. We're all completely dependent on the state and everything it does and everything we do. And the final stage is from dependence back into bondage. Remember, bondage was the first state, and from bondage, then we go into spiritual faith. All of a sudden, we realize everything's wrong, we go and we turn to God, and we go back to the natural, you know, concepts, natural laws, and then we start the cycle over again. And he says this is about a 200-year cycle. So can we go into history then and look and see if the 200-year or so cycle is correct? And it's 200 to 250. Assyria, in till 612 BC, was a 247-year reign. Persia, a 208-year reign. Greece, 231 years. The Roman Republic, 233 years. Roman Empire, then, about 207 years. The Arab Empire, 246 years. The Mamluk Empire, 267 years. The Ottoman Empire, 250 years. Spain, from 1500 to 1750, was a 250-year reign. Romanov, Russia was a 234-year reign till 1916, and we were just talking about that, the Bolshevik Revolution. Great Britain, a 250-year reign. And, finally, the United States, from 1790 to 2016, we're talking about a 224-year reign and counting. So who's the next... reigning champion, if you will, that's going to be added to this list? And I would agree that it's something between Russia, China, and all that. I haven't decided, honestly, but Russia seems to be the, you know.
Russia's it, because Russia's got the most in the way of natural resources. And
but I think China, the most.
China is lacking on a great many resources.
Yeah.
They need an empire in order to reign. Russia is self-sufficient.
I think the most important aspect of this, though, is that we are in that cycle right now in our lifetime of 200 to 250 years. So we're at 225 years right now. Okay, that is a very long time in a society and in a technologically advanced era like this. The question is, does that technology, does our current craziness, you know, our current system of sin, if you will, which we call technology and information and all that, is that going to change the game? Is the next actual empire going to be the United Nations, is my question.
I think they would like it to be. It may not be particularly. It depends on... I think what they would like to do is to be able to, you know, reset the game, and certain players that, you know, make up this, you know, this cabal that we're dealing with now are able to continue, and that really is that's not set. I don't believe that's set. There's too many variables going on in the world right now. I think they've made some miscalculations, to be honest with you.
I think maybe we should start being against variables.
Well, that's why it's I'm becoming more fascinated with, you know, how the, you know, for a long time I was very much set against religion. But with a lot of our discussions, I've learned that, okay, it is the book of the law. You know, we understand how the Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire, which led to the development of our modern world, that it is just a segment of the Holy Empire. What was the purpose of the church? What was the church trying to do to maintain its control all that time? And it really set up two particular roadblocks. One was to condemn usury, and the other is condemn sodomy. And this is why E. Michael Jones, I think, is really doing yeoman's work in talking about this, because that there is, the church was infiltrated. Okay, the people that wanted to destroy the church knew they had to do it from within, and they did it first by breaking up through the Protestant movements. And then over the course of time, which it took them 500 years to do it, but they've been successful at it.
So who do you suppose was behind the Protestant movement? Was it the Yehudim?
The Yehudas, yeah.
The Yehudim?
Right. Well, the usurers and the Sodomites, right? Who were they? Well, they represented these, you know, these people. Basically, destruction of the temple in 70 AD by the Roman Empire, they've always wanted vengeance. So anything of the empire, including the church, needed to be destroyed from within.
I think you give a lot of credit where no credit is due, that the church was somehow a good institution in the first place. My personal opinion there. But I will say this.
See, I have looked at I had thought that too, Clint, but you know what? Maybe not. Maybe it was fulfilling a function for people to live it.
Let me put it to you this way, okay? I could also have sympathy with the architect of the Matrix, because the architect of the Matrix, what's the thing he said? He said, you know, the first Matrix we built was perfect. It was full of peace and loveliness and harmony. And you know what? The people just couldn't fucking handle it. So am I supposed to think that the architect is a good guy for putting us all in pods and extracting our energy and extorting from us, not even letting us have a conscious except in a computer simulation, because he developed a system that would be peaceful?
Well, I mean, just something that just kind of crossed my mind, you know, so through the movie, he said, you know, we had, everything was perfect and people just couldn't handle it. Is that just a way of, you know, the system saying, you know, you couldn't handle when things are good, so you know we had to change things, and I don't know. It just seems like
don't forget the underlying part that we're all its slaves, right? Just because it made an effort to give us something that makes us feel good doesn't change the fact that that in the Bible, even Caesar said all men must be taxed, i.e. registered under Caesar. The papal bull says that all men must be under the church, right, under the crown, which is not the crown of England, the crown of the church. So I can't sit here and say, oh, I sympathize with the devil when it's the devil that I'm sympathizing with. I just can't forget what that institution actually is, any more than I would forget what the Matrix actually is. Just because I'm comfortable in the simulation doesn't mean I'm going to now be able to forget what the simulation is.
Well, I think mainly, maybe what Greg is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, we hope that there is some goodness, or at one point in this world that there was something good and benevolent. And you know, we hope that is, because then there's a chance for it to maybe come back again. But maybe.
Here's what I've discovered. I find it really amazing that when I'm looking into a word and I can't find the word, I can find the word, I know the word, I use the word all the time, but I can't find it in the legal dictionaries, right? Then I know I'm onto something. I know I'm onto something very important when I find a word that's not in the legal dictionaries. Love was one of those words. Love is not in the legal dictionaries. Only way love is ever used in a legal dictionary is as an inducement to contract. Well, they got married because they're in love. Oh, okay. Well, that was stupid. You know how fleeting love is, right? You better be doing it for a state like they have for generations and generations, not for your current sexual attraction to some chick, right? So the love is to the legal realm, to the evil realm, and inducement to contract and nothing else. It's all they can consider it as, because it's a spiritual concept. Well, guess what other word is not in the legal dictionaries, and I really was shocked at this. I never could have imagined that this was the case. The word predictable or predict is not in the legal language, not a word used by the legal language. Why is that the case? Prediction, before words. Well, there can be nothing in the legal realm without words to create it, right? So what is so special about the natural law? Why is it that I'm so promotive of it? And I figured out that that's the best way to describe it, is that it makes you and everybody that follows it predictable. See, the church wants you to go to not have that, you know, people say, call it a personal relationship, whatever. In other words, the church doesn't want you to have the knowledge that you can govern yourself. It wants you to go to it and be through it, members of it, and have it have all the power, and you be the, see, it doesn't want you to come to the realization that you, can be predictable. Instead, it gives you the civil and the ecclesiastical law. It separates those laws. It gives you license to do things you shouldn't do against the natural law. It is in charge of the state. I mean, how many times do you have to read that the spiritual authority or the spiritual jurisdiction is higher than the civil jurisdiction, right? What they call the spiritual jurisdiction in the Vatican.
Is diction in the legal dictionary? Just not prediction.
Just not prediction, because how can anything legal exist without words or before words, right? Right. So you got to remember that the Word of God, the word, when capitalized in the Bible, has nothing to do with words. The Word of God has no words in it. The Word is the law. It's the natural law. It's the force of life, the force of all things, right? So if I am following the natural law, and you are following the natural law, and Greg is following the natural law, and I'm in a community where everybody there is following the natural law, then 100% of your actions will be predictable. You will not be going according to man's law of words. You'll be following God's word, i.e. law, son, right? So you're following a law that is self-evident, that doesn't need a word to even describe it. Your whole purpose is love, charity, and what the Bible says. My favorite verse in the Bible is where it says that you should never be concerned with your own wealth, only with the wealth of all others. And if that is the way every single person is acting towards one another, then everything that society, community, people does is absolutely 100% predictable, okay? Right. Now you bring the church into the equation. Now you bring the state into the equation, which literally is anti-God. Legal means anti-God, anti-nature. Legal license means anarchy, means lawlessness, to get a license to do a crime, right? That, what we're living in, and we don't even realize, is organized anarchy, an organized system of chaos, which has been their stated goal for a very long time, to create chaos and then to control it, right? We are so fucking unpredictable towards one another that we can't figure out what the hell, we don't know how to introduce ourselves. Hey, if I'm following the natural law, I don't have to give you my identity. I don't have to give you some reputation or some number that you can go verify my credit score, because you know I'm predictable, that everything I'm going to do is going to be for your benefit, not mine, because that can only benefit me. Right? This is the difference between these societies. This is the difference between having an organized church where everybody uses it as an excuse to sin and then be forgiven by some fucking fake god, and to be self-governing under the natural law, which means to control your own actions, to control your actions under a system of law that is, again, has nothing, it's prediction. It has nothing to do with the words of man. And so I found that prediction is not a word used in the legal realm, and that brought me to this total understanding of predictability versus contradiction. Contradiction is what is opposite, what is against. Well, that's the word for Satan, right? What is adversarial? Contradiction, so against the word of God.
You know what I'd like to see in this next debate? I would like it to start exactly like this. Hi, I'm some fucking prostitute who's going to control this conversation here with some other assholes sitting right next to me. The two candidates will come out, and the fact-checking will be done in a little up in the corner of your screen by some guy named Clint. And then everything that they say, you will fact check them and just clarify all the bullshit. They'll be like, who's Clint? Who's that guy? He's saying a lot of things that make sense, but my head's starting to hurt. That would be awesome. Fact checking by Clint.
Yes. Well,
in the
good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Unless we could figure out a way to, you know, just like to transmit a video and audio signal through the matrix right to that screen, and then we can get the it's a real deal. But that's interesting.
Yeah, before words, man. Before
he always, it might take a month or two or something, but he, in addition to all the other research he's done, he always seems to find something through his journey that is just, you know, it's just, yeah, here's another, boom, just another revelation of on top of everything else that has been.
Well, that's what the you know, that's when the Bible talks about the tree of knowledge, right? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the fruit that we pick from it. That's all the words, the concepts of man. You know, there is no such thing as good and evil, unless you're talking about what is artificial versus what is real, right? So there is no good and evil. A black widow is not evil. It just is what it is, right? It has its purpose, its function in society. But I can't say that about the church. I can't say that about the Matrix. I can't say that about governments. They are forced. They are the church relies on the state. The state relies on the church for their very existence. So I can't say that there's something natural about the church, that it should be there or it should have some form of, you know, reverence and support from myself or from someone else. And I certainly can't say that it was once good and now is evil, because there's just no such thing unless we admit that the church is artificial. That it's a replacement, that it's standing as the vicar of God, the replacement, the Antichrist, right? If the Bible says take no other doctrines, and the church has always offered its own doctrine, how can that possibly be something that I should be in worship of or in support of? I can't. It just doesn't work that way. That's purely and pure and utter reason right there. So, I mean, in this case, Greg, this is one area where I've heard this argument before. I've heard the good Jew, bad Jew argument. I've heard all these arguments about things, you know, being overrun and taken over. I've heard that about the United States, but I mean, Everything seems to have an excuse for being so fucking evil, whereas once it was good. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it anymore.
I'm not trying to make the claim that it was ever good. What I'm saying is that that there was a period of where people were not blatantly evil, weren't supporting it. They were there. There really was. And then, again, the level of understanding was that, you know, people at least, they tried to live by a code of honor. Okay?
I think it's in there internally in all of us.
You think so? I don't think that people are living by a code of honor anymore. I think they are honoring the dishonorable and bringing dishonor amongst them down upon their own heads.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're not actually aware that they're doing that. That's the beauty of, like you said, that concept of self-evident law and self-evident knowledge, which is the very definition of God or nature. You know, you never don't know what you're doing is wrong, because as soon as someone points it out to you, you instantly know that you have no excuse to justify your actions except, well, I have a license to do so from the government. Oh, look, I have a legal, you know, I'm here legally. No one ever says I'm here, you know, under God's command, I'm spiritually inclined, you know. They know they're wrong. They know what they're doing is wrong. And they know that instinctually, even though they have a license from the state to do something wrong, they still know it's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. That sense of wrongness never goes away, but it can be filtered. It can be sort of extracted from the equation with so much propaganda and so much technology, information, you know, awareness and ignorance. It can be, sidestepped by all these methodologies of these people in power.
In some ways, I mean, right and wrong is pretty self-evident.
That's the point, yeah.
And then someone comes along, and then they change or just start making addendums to what's right and what's wrong. And I think that exists. That's why I said probably like a cynical comment when Greg was on Greg's last comment. And he said, well, you know, there was a time when people did. I said, what, like 2 weeks?
I think the important part of this and why I'm so demanding that people study their Bibles now that I understand the Bible and what it is as the foundational law, like I said, the unwritten law, not the law that's written by words, but this concept of what is right and what is wrong. The Bible is sort of a preemptive, if you will, strike against that type of behavior, because if you're following that foundational law, then nothing can corrupt you, because you'll never accept persons flattering titles, you'll never be surety, you'll never take an oath to anybody, you'll never get yourself into any position to where you can actually make an excuse and actually pretend like it's legitimate. That's the reason I'm so adamant about that this is the foundational law. Once you break it, once you go past it, once you enter into the artifice, well, then you might as well just give up the whole thing and become an evil motherfucker. Because you've lost, you've already broken the foundation. Once the foundation is cracked, everything will fall.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's taught at an early stage of existence, if it's bastardized at such an early stage of existence, it's almost doomed to to just be. Recycle, wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, I've gone through hell. I mean, I've ruined my life essentially learning this stuff. I'm probably not. That's my problem now, is I'm no example. I can't be an example for anybody. I can only I've spent so much time learning this that I've let my health go. I've let everything go to the point where now I'm kind of a ruined man. I don't want anybody else to have to go through what I've gone through to learn this, which is why I'm putting it into this book format and giving it away, because I don't want people to have to go through the torture of trying to break out of the matrix without any help. It's the worst feeling in the world to go through all of this, learn all of this, come to an understanding like I have, and then realize that no one else is ever going to, probably very few are ever going to be able to spend the time and basically risk their health and not get married and do all the things that everybody is supposed to do in their life, not have children. I don't want people to have to go through what I've gone through. I want to give it to them with, I don't know how to say it. I don't want people to have to go through the pain to get the knowledge like I have. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Totally agreed. It's a tough road.
Yeah. And I mean, you've obviously made a, obviously a sacrifice. I'm doing what I'm doing here. I've obviously not sacrificed as much. I think Greg the same. But I can honestly say this might have been your path, your journey was what, from the time you were born to the point where you are now. This may possibly change everything, or it might if it makes any difference whatsoever in anyone's world, man, then you've done more than most people have done in this world.
I think what's sad is that you start to sense this overwhelming power of what knowledge can do, but at the same time you're up against this ignorance that you're talking about, this induced ignorance from public school, from birth, not no fault of really anybody's, but again this architect of the matrix, right? overcoming that is so difficult. And I think honestly that at the same time you feel this power of knowledge, you also feel so weak and so unpowerful, so without power, because
as so below.
Because words words can't describe the once you stop thinking in terms and in limitation of words, once you start thinking spiritually above all else, then you know, how do you communicate that in the vulgar terms that we're allowed to use in the slave colony, right? How do you communicate? So you also, the knowledge is something that's beyond words. It's something you have to feel, right? And so that makes it even more, almost more of a helpless feeling, even though you have this, at the same time, this incredible freedom of mind and knowledge, you know, but at the same time, it's a helpless feeling, right? And again, it's just such a, I don't think people should have to go through this just to learn what is right.
Yeah, but that's all you see is when you observe the world around, when we talk about the election, we talk about these things. I look at it as an outsider observing the inside and seeing how all of this, these people who just, they don't understand anything about how the world works. They all fall into play, which allows them to be manipulated, right? And you just, sometimes you just want to shout and say, you fools, if you only knew, you could, you know, you could make this heaven on earth.
And yeah, I mean, and it wouldn't even take all that much, just the key. I mean, it wouldn't take learning everything that Clint has learned and researched. It would just take just
10% of it.
Small 10% of it. Just 10% of
that's some it.
Of the most critical pieces of information. And just if we could just download that into the brains of these fuckers.
It's only the foundational law that you need, you know, but you also have to have those parabolic stories, because of course the Bible is what? It's a prediction, right? It's a prophecy book that tells you, hey, if you go down this path, this is what's going to happen. It's not saying that in 1999 or 1984 this is going to happen. It's saying as soon as you bypass this foundational law and you accept personhood or you accept this is what's going to happen. There is no escaping that fate, because you've broken the law, you've broken the natural force, the natural source of law, and you're going to something artificial. This will happen if you do that. So again, it's the foundational law that matters. And if that point, which is so hard to get across, if you can just tell people what the foundation of law is, and that everything that we do in the church and in the state is against the foundational law, which is why we're all slaves to that system, why we have no power, because we've given up all of our power, we've not reserved any of our rights, we have no duty towards one another unless we sign a contract, right? We have to be threatened to do what's right. That is what is so hard to get across, is that we've crossed the threshold in every single way. We've broken the foundation of law, and we are suffering the parabolic consequences, all of which are discussed in the Bible. And they call it prophecy, but now I understand that it's just prediction. This will happen when you get caught in the diction, or what is contra against the foundational word. You'll get stuck in false words, words that have no true substance, like the word, i.e. law of nature does. That's hard.
Look at the creation. I mean, I'm driving around yesterday, and I go into this town over in PA, you know, to get some chiropractic stuff done. And then you just look and you just see it's law office, law office, law office, law office. It's like, what the fuck do we need all these lawyers for? And you just see that they're fiction. They've taken this fiction and they've created this. It's just unbelievable how many people have bought into this world, and they think that it is normal where we've come from. You know, they just think it's all normal. They don't see, but every now and then you'll hear, oh, these lawyers, the world could do without this and that. And they think, yeah, it could totally do without all of them completely. And all these fucking doctors, all these douchebags that fucking think that they're better than everyone else dealing with a medical organization now. And you just hear just the oppression within, like the people like, oh, I can't print. Please help me. The doctor's gonna smack me in the back of the head with a stethoscope. You can just feel like just the abuse, the marketing of sickness, the create opposite sickness, and then the marketing of it. I mean, it's yikes. Hashtag yikes.
Well, there again, why does the Journal of American Medicine report that the third leading cause of death is iatrogenic medicine? In other words, doctor-related, doctor-caused death? It's because we respect the flattering title of doctor. Something that the foundation law says never do. Never respect the person, never respect the flattering title. So you deserve exactly what you get because you're crossing over, you're breaking God's law, and you're respecting the flattering title, and you're doing exactly what that man says, taking the pharmaceutical drugs that the pharmaceutical companies tell him to give you without ever testing your cytochrome curve to see what you're allergic to and what you're not, what you can metabolize. He's just, you know, one drug serves all, save money, no test needed. That's foolishness. And we do that with lawyers, with attorneys, with doctors, with judges, with presidents, right? Look how much respect we're giving to this notion of a president of a fictional corporation, United States.
I want a president that inspires me. Not one that makes fun of me. That's the little kid on TV. I mean, a president that inspires me. Kid, if you're looking for a politician to inspire you, you're already fucked. Kill yourself. We got about 40 seconds left today on Cold Reality Radio. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Clint for hanging out and bringing up and talking about some of the most important issues of our time. And we'll see what happens, you know. Where will we be next Sunday? Who knows?
But I think it's going to be a very interesting week, guys.
Oh, it's going to be, sure, because Wednesday's the next debate debacle. Hold on, guys. Stop them. Don't put that on your wish list. That's retarded babble. Protesters make the hit list soon as they start to rabble. They are nothing but fishes in the barrel. It doesn't have to be Christmas for a carol. Some decorate with ornamental decorum. Some perform shock and awe on Hanukkah and Purim. That's where my job come in. I am a blessing to the mercenary. For the corporation selling weapons to them. Any potential competitor step into them. I'm authorized to knock them out and stick a GPS into them. They want to sell uranium